The map in Lincoln Ngoma's office was far from the model of neat precision of the one in Qing's Shanghai Dominion. The boundaries of Ngoma's tropic region were stenciled in dark, wide brown, and swept about a gorgeous interior labeled jungle and desert, and here be elephants and all manner of strange beasts. It had much to sweep, for inland area the tropic region enclosed most of two continents, all of South America north of Argentina, and all of Africa south of the Atlas. It included North America south of the Rio Grande as well, and even Arabia and Iran in Asia. It was the reverse of the eastern region, where the ant hives of the Orient crowded half of humanity into 15% of the landmass. The tropics stretched its 15% of humanity over nearly half of all the land in the world. But it was growing. It was the one region whose population increase through immigration exceeded that through births, and for all who came, it had use. To Ngoma, Stephen Byerly seemed like one of these immigrants, a pale searcher for the creative work of carving a harsh environment into the softness necessary for man, and he felt some of that automatic contempt of the strong man born to the strong tropics for the unfortunate pallids of the colder suns. The tropics had the newest capital city on Earth, and it was called simply that, Capital City, in the sublime confidence of youth. It spread brightly over the fertile uplands of Nigeria, and outside Ngoma's windows, far below, was life and color, the bright, bright sun and the quick, drenching showers. Even the squawking of the rainbowed birds was brisk, and the stars were hard pinpoints in the sharp night. Ngoma laughed. He was a big, dark man, strong-faced and handsome. "Sure," he said, and his English was colloquial and mouth-filling. "The Mexican canal is overdue." "What the hell? It will get finished just the same, old boy." "It was doing well up to the last half year." Ngoma looked at Byerly and slowly crunched his teeth over the end of a big cigar, spitting out one end and lighting the other. "Is this an official investigation, Byerly? What's going on?" "Nothing. Nothing at all. It's just my function as coordinator to be curious." "Well, if it's just that you are filling in a dull moment, the truth is that we're always short on labor. There's lots going on in the tropics. The canal is only one of them." "But doesn't your machine predict the amount of labor available for the canal, allowing for all the competing projects?" Ngoma placed one hand behind his neck and blew smoke rings at the ceiling. "It was a little off." "Is it often a little off?" "Not oftener than you would expect." "We don't expect too much of it, Byerly. We feed it data. We take its results. We do what it says. But it's just a convenience, just a labor-saving device. We could do without it if we had to. Maybe not as well. Maybe not as quickly. But we'd get there. We've got confidence out here, Byerly, and that's the secret. Confidence. We've got new land that's been waiting for us for thousands of years, while the rest of the world was being ripped apart in the lousy fumblings of pre-atomic time. We don't have to eat yeast like the Eastern boys, and we don't have to worry about the stale dregs of the last century like you Northerners. We've wiped out the tsetse fly and the Anopheles mosquito, and people find they can live in the sun and like it now. We've thinned down the jungles and found soil. We've watered the deserts and found gardens. We've got coal and oil in untouched fields and minerals out of count. Just step back. That's all we ask the rest of the world to do. Step back and let us work." Byerly said, prosaically, "But the canal, it was on schedule 6 months ago. What happened?" Ngoma spread his hands. "Labor troubles." He felt through a pile of papers skeltered about his desk and gave it up. "Had something on the matter here," he muttered, "but never mind. There was a work shortage somewhere in Mexico once on the question of women. There weren't enough women in the neighborhood. It seemed no one had thought of feeding sexual data to the machine." He stopped to laugh delightedly, then sobered. "Wait a while. I think I've got it. Via Franca. Villafranca? Francisco Villafranca. He was the engineer in charge. Now let me straighten it out. Something happened and there was a cave-in. Right. Right, that was it. Nobody died, as I remember, but it made a hell of a mess. Quite a scandal. Oh? There was some mistake in his calculations. Or at least the machine said so. They fed through Villafranca's data, assumptions, and so on. The stuff he had started with. The answers came out differently. It seems the answers Villafranca had used didn't take account of the effect of a heavy rainfall on the contours of the cut. Or something like that. I'm not an engineer, you understand. Anyway, Villafranca put up a devil of a squawk. He claimed the machine's answer had been different the first time, that he had followed the machine faithfully. Then he quit. We offered to hold him on. Reasonable doubt, previous work satisfactory and all that. In a subordinate position, of course. Had to do that much. Mistakes can't go unnoticed. Bad for discipline. Where was I? You offered to hold him on. Oh, yes. He refused. Well, take all in all, we're 2 months behind. Hell, that's nothing. Byerly stretched out his hand and let the fingers tap lightly on the desk. Villafranca blamed the machine, did he? Well, he wasn't going to blame himself, was he? Let's face it, human nature is an old friend of ours. Besides, I remember something else now. Why the hell can't I find documents when I want them? My filing system isn't worth a damn. This Villafranca was a member of one of your northern organizations. Mexico is too close to the north. That's part of the trouble. Which organization are you speaking of? The Society of Humanity, they call it. He used to attend the annual conference in New York, Villafranca did. Bunch of crackpots, but harmless. They don't like the machines. Claim they're destroying human initiative. So naturally, Villafranca would blame the machine. Don't understand that group myself. Does Capital City look as if the human race were running out of initiative? And Capital City stretched out in golden glory under a golden sun, the newest and youngest creation of Homo Metropolis.